I am excited to spend some time together this morning. I'm really going to share deeply from my own heart, and so I hope it's not too uncomfortable for you, but I believe that this is something that we're supposed to do as ministers. So this week I learned something about something, a technique or a mindset. It's a counseling term, really, the Johari window. Has anybody ever heard of the Johari window? Nope. Okay, me either. I hadn't heard of it. And it's this premise that we basically have two divisions in our life, things we know about ourselves and things that we don't know about ourselves. And then it actually takes a step further and divides those two windows into four panes. Hang on with me. This is not psychology class, but I find it really helpful in understanding how God speaks to us, deals with us, changes us, all of those things. So, and if you're further interested, go ahead and Google it after service. I hope you listen right now. Google it after service. So I borrowed this window pane from Jackie. Bless Jackie. I called her at 8 o'clock last night and was like, hey, I need a window. Can you help a mother out? And she was more than willing to help. So the Johari window is this division that we have, this known self that we know about ourselves, right? Things that we know. And then we have this hidden self, this unknown self that we don't know about ourselves. And so what do I mean by that and the four panes? Well, first of all, we have this piece that is our open self. This is stuff that we let out to the whole world, that we're like, I like to bake cookies and I enjoy people and I drive a little distracted. Those are the things that we're like honest with the world about. People can see it about us and they know about it, right? That's our open self. Then we have our hidden self. The things that we know about ourselves, but we don't really like lead with other people. For me, that would be, I'm terribly frightened of dogs. Most people don't know that because most people are dog lovers and make an immediate judgment call about what kind of person is terrified of dogs. So I just kind of keep that nugget of myself hidden. I know it, but not everybody else knows it, right? Okay, so open self, hidden self. These are things that we are aware of that are known to us. But we also have this other half of our life, the blind self. The blind self is the piece that we don't know about ourselves, but everybody else knows. Like, I don't know if I talk too much. Everybody else thinks I talk too much, right? It's those things that are like blatantly obvious to other people, but we struggle to see in ourselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And then we have this window pane that none of us want to talk about, that none of us want to think about. We don't even want to acknowledge that we have. And that's our unknown self. That's this piece of our life where we hold attitudes and opinions and prejudices and fears. A lot of our childhood has poured into that piece, that pain of our lives. And we don't know it's there and we don't want to know that it's there, right? Now, healthy people, the healthier we get, the more self-aware we become, the bigger this pain gets and the smaller these others get. When we're sure of who we are, we know what's happened to us, we know what our triggers are, we know where we're going, we know what our purpose is, that open self gets bigger and bigger and these become smaller and smaller pieces. That's healthy. The opposite, when we're unhealthy, this piece gets smaller and smaller, and we share less and less of our true selves with the world. We have facades. We have masquerades. We have whole parts of our life that we never, ever, ever want to read in a newspaper or see on a television screen. Does that make sense? Okay. So I bring that up this morning quite on purpose because I believe that God knows all of this. Over and over, when you read the New Testament, you see that God knows what they were thinking. Jesus knows what they were thinking. There was nothing hidden from him. There's nothing hidden from the Father. So God sees it all. And I believe that he wants to dig into this corner with us because this is the corner where sin, well, temptation hides and sin grows, right? This is the piece of our life that we want to pretend doesn't exist. And God's like, hey, if we're going to fix the things out here, we're going to need to address the things in here. So how do we deal with the stuff that we don't know? Dale, I'm going to really give you a run for your money today. I'm sorry. I hope that's okay. need to give that guy a raise. All right, so how do we deal with the stuff we don't know? Jeremiah 33:3 tells us, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Now, this is not an AT&T verse where you pick up the phone, dial God and go, hey, I need to know some stuff. Will you let me know? That's not how it works. Finding the unsearchable with God means opening up your Bible. It means opening up a notebook. It means getting out a pen or a pencil, and writing down what you read in his word and how it applies to your heart. It means reading God's word and going, wait, I disagree with this. I'm uncomfortable with this. This doesn't line up in my life. And then assuming that you're wrong and learning to make those necessary changes. We study God's word and we allow God's Holy Spirit to point stuff out because the Holy Spirit knows what's happening in the unknown self. So this is where it gets personal this morning. About a month ago, I had a humbling Jahari window revelation while I was reading the pastoral epistles or Paul's letters to the early church. I'm in a one-year Bible reading, so I read a chunk of Old Testament, chunk of New, Proverbs, and Psalm every day. And in the New Testament, these epistles just started kind of beating me up. You know what I'm saying? Like really identifying some things in my heart that I didn't know that were there. And so what do I mean by that? Here's the scriptures that grab my heart, and maybe you can jump in. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and my crown I receive for my work. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We loved you so much that we shared not only with you God's good news, but our own lives too.
And then 1 Thessalonians 2:17-20. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back to you because of our intense longing to see you again.
After all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Sometimes we read God's word and he just hands us our ticket. Meaning, this is what's going on in your heart, Anna. What are you going to do about it? And this is what happened to me that morning. My revelation might startle you a bit. It might even harm your opinion of my person. But I realized that Paul loved his people so mightily. He had such an ardent love for the people he was called to serve. He used words like joy and crown. He used words like great reward and hope and pride. He refers to his people as his prize. And I started thinking about it. Like when we get to heaven, we know that we're going to get a crown, right? It says it in scripture, you're going to get a crown. And me, I'm a girl, and I always pictured something quite sparkly and fantastic, right? Or maybe gold, but not too heavy, but something wonderful, something out of this world. And then when I was reading these scriptures this past month, the Lord's like, why would I put a piece of pavement on your head? Because the streets of heaven are paved with gold. And I'm like, huh, maybe what I'm valuing isn't really valuable. He's like, Anna, why would you need a bigger house in heaven? If I'm going there to prepare a place for you and some people get bigger mansions than others, then why would you, of all people, need a big house? And I was like, well, big houses are for lots of people. Ding, 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 ding. Your crown in heaven is the relationships that you cultivate and cherish here. Your people that you get to serve, they are your joy, your pride, your treasure, your crown. And I had to repent on the spot. I was like, God, I've been doing this wrong. Paul points out to me that mature pastors love their people unconditionally, in season and out. I'm going to tell you, honestly, it's a little harder to make a hospital call in the dead of winter when it's negative 19 out. There's a catch in my pastor's heart. Not so with Paul. He'd have been out there on a snowmobile making hospital calls because that's the kind of pastor he was because he was mature. Immature pastors, their affection waxes and wanes with the spiritual weather. And I realized in that morning that I was not as mature as I would like to be. The first step in growing is coming to a realization of where you're truly at. The Holy Spirit clearly told me that morning that mature pastors love unconditionally, in season and out. In the words of Bob Goff, everybody, always. And you're all nodding your heads going, yep, yep, yep. It's way harder than it sounds, right? Middle of the night text messages or phone calls or people showing up at your door. It is harder than it sounds. And it's something that I'm trying to grow in, that Pastor Rob is trying to grow in. Because the truth is, we were fairly mature Christians and we were pretty mature youth pastors, but it's a whole new ball game in big church. We still call it big church, in case you are wondering. 20 years of habits don't die easily. So I had this kind of argument with God of like, Paul's people aren't my people. And he's like, oh, really? Let's talk about it. Paul's people aren't any more perfected than your people. How do we know that? Because he's writing them letters about things like gossip and sexual immorality and theological issues and false teachers. They weren't like an incredibly mature people group, but Paul somehow had developed an incredibly mature love for them. And so that's what I've been asking God to do with me and through me. Paul had figured out that love covers a multitude of sins, right? And so we're learning. We're learning. I keep praying for God to give me a baptism of love. The way I was baptized in water, the way I was baptized in the Spirit, I want a baptism of love, that love would just burst out of me to his people. So this morning, I'm learning, this is a Methodist song growing up, but I'm going to quote it anyway, and maybe you've heard it. But it's an old song in Sunday school that we sang that said, he's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. This is the part I really like. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. I did recently read Bob Goff's book, Everyone Always. I'm going to tell you I didn't like it. It messed with me a lot. But one of the things he said stuck with me so profoundly. He used the phrase over and over, people becoming love. And that resonated with my heart. As we know God, and he is love, and he dwells in us, we are people becoming love. And if we're not, we're not doing it right. We're supposed to be becoming love. And that's exactly what God has been doing in my heart. So since Paul pointed out my immaturity almost a month ago, I've been asking God to bust my heart open with unconditional love for all of you. And honestly, most days that's super easy. But unconditional isn't most days. Unconditional is every day. Every day. So here, this morning, I wanted to have pastor appreciation, but I wanted to reverse it from what y'all are thinking. I want you to see your pastors appreciate you. So here's what I have so far. 3 years ago, Algona Faith took a crazy risk in hiring some Texas youth pastors who had never senior pastored before. We were seasoned in youth ministry, and we were seriously unseasoned for adult ministry. And you guys said, that's okay. We love you. We want you here. and we'll see what co-pastoring looks like. Thank you. You took a major risk. Like, could have gambled on it. You didn't. Great job. You have loved our family, our children, my brother, so beautifully these last 3 years. And when I look back over the last 18 months in particular, you guys have stuck with the Thorsons through some really tough stuff. I know that I was very distracted for about a full year there. And you guys just held out and knew I'd come back. And I appreciate that. You've been flexible. You've been helpful. You've been kind. You've been patient. You've been loving. You've been understanding. You have mourned with us, and you have rejoiced with us. You have moved us. You have prayed with us. You have sorted out old cars with us. You have stood with us, cried with us, and served alongside us. And we are forever grateful. You have shown us unconditional love. So this morning, in this vein of deep appreciation, I want to take it a step further. I don't want to just make a blanket statement, oh, I appreciate you. Because in my experience, blanket statements don't generally stick. You're like, oh, she's probably talking about someone else. Remember, a few weeks back, we talked about the Imago Dei, right? The image of God imprinted on each and every person. So just as I've asked you to go home and to consider the people in your own household, the people in your own family, and identify that Imago Dei, I think that's a skill that we need to bring to church as well. Because that's how we love people well, is when we identify the bit of God in them that he's placed there. And most of the time, it's not even buried deep. If you put any effort in at all, you can find it. And if you can't, you can ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll reveal it because he sees all of it. Right? So if it's true for our physical families that it helps our relationships when we honor each other, when we see the image of God in each other, I believe that also carries into this place, into this sanctuary, meaning that every single person in this building this morning carries a precious piece of God's heart within their frame. And it is our joy as pastors to lead out in that discovery and that celebration of what we find in each other. We seek to value one another and honor our brothers and sisters in Christ. I noticed it 2 days ago in my reading in Titus 1:4. Paul points it out when he says, I'm writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share. Because the truth is, faith makes us family. Faith connects us as brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. And healthy families, which is something we long for, healthy families honor one another. They value one another. So I already said it's probably going to be weird and it's probably going to be awkward this morning, but I hope you'll stick it out. I'd like to walk through the sanctuary this morning and honor the individuals that call Algona Faith home. Now, I thought about doing this via text or phone call, or email, or the preferred method for individuals, which might be carrier pigeon. I thought about doing that, but I thought, if I do that, that's only going to bless the individual that hears it. And as I prayed about it, I felt like God said, no, I want you to do this in a way where other people see the truth that you're calling out in these individuals, where they can identify that God imprint in each of these folks. So it is going to be just a little weird because we haven't done this before, but I think we're all going to learn from it. So are you ready for a ride? Probably not, but we're going to go anyway. So, all right. So my prayer is, as I speak to each of you, as I speak what I hope to be God's heart towards that person, that you would attempt to appreciate that piece of himself in them. Does that make sense? I hope that you will see what I see. So I'm just going to go around the room. Don't freak out. It won't be terrible. All right. I have notes only because I prayed about it as I was doing this, and I wanted to make sure that I was speaking truth, but also spirit-led. So I'm going to start with Lindsay, because Lindsay doesn't mind being first. Right, Lindsay? Lindsay, I see you as a fierce provider and protector. I know a lot of your story. And I see you as a guy who was unwilling to give up on your family and was more than willing to do whatever it took, no matter how dangerous or uncomfortable it was, to provide for your family. And that is a very godly trait. So thank you. Janelle, also a family woman. What I see about you, Janelle, is that you support your family so beautifully. Whatever they're doing, you are right there behind them offering a scaffolding to hold them up. So what do I mean by that? When Lindsay was in the Army, you were a great Army wife. You were flexible. You were hardworking. You were ready to deal with whatever circumstances were ever evolving. When it comes to Jordan, you are so helpful with Ellie and so proud of your granddaughter. When it comes to Pastors Curtis and Alyssa, you are there working in their children's room doing whatever it is they need done. You are help to Rob and I in huge ways, and we're very grateful. I see God in you. Phil, eyebrows. Phil, you have a papa heart. You just exude warmth and protection and a clear sense of your priesthood as dad. And I really appreciate the way you've shepherded your children. I see God in you. Jan, I had to write yours on the back because I watched you walk in this morning, so give me a moment here. Jan, you are a thinker. I see you think things through before you make actions and really deliberate about what you do and why you do it. But that's the other half. You're a thinker, but you're a doer. You're a woman of incredible action, and I appreciate that about you. And you have a very giving heart. You love to serve. Wherever there's a need, you're ready to fill it. And I see God in you. Can we do this? We can do this. Family hugs, right?
Not awkward.
Everybody hanging on okay? You getting something out of this? I hope so. All right. David, I'm really glad you came this morning. You ask really good questions. I appreciate that you don't just take what washes over you and let it set. You think about it. You ask questions. You say, hey, I don't understand, or I don't see it that way. You have an inquisitive heart. And I think God is an inquisitive God. He asks us questions all the time. I also see you as a person who loves with action. Every time I see you in this building or in our community, you're doing something for someone. And that is God's heart in you. And I see it. All right, Jerry's like, oh, she's here. Oh, like this lady pastor. This wouldn't have happened previous leadership. I know. I'm sorry. Jerry is a delight. If you don't know Jerry, it is completely your loss, first of all. Secondly, Jerry is what I would call a quiet fighter. Now, I knew he was quiet previously. I know he's a super nice guy. I've got to work in the kitchen with him many times, and he'll work until those hands are like prunes. But what I didn't know, I visited Refit. Is that it? Retrofit. What's it called now? Your place of business, your workplace. Retech. I'm sorry, Pastor Brain. Retech. I visited Retech with the chamber maybe a year ago. It's been a while after they revamped. And Jerry has just retired from Retech maybe a year and a half ago, and he was real quiet about his role at Retech and kind of underplayed his hand, really, with me when I asked him about his job and how long he'd been there and what he'd do. Well, then when I visit Retech, I learned that Retech almost went under in the 90s. Like, they had 115 people employed, and they went down to 10. And you know what I learned? Jerry was one of the 10. So first of all, he's a pretty excellent guy, top 10% of employees. Secondly, I learned that he fought very hard to revamp what Retech did so that they could stay in business in Algona. And they were able to turn the entire company around and build it back up. And it's a great employer in this community now. So that's why I say Jerry is a quiet fighter, because he fights for what he knows is right. And I see God in him. Sharon. This is really awkward because I'm in your space, but Sharon works at Good Samaritan, if you didn't know that. And what I see about Sharon is that she is a humble servant of the marginalized. So what I mean by that is the people that other people have given up on, looked over, left out, those are Sharon's peeps. She is there. She's attending to them. She's listening to them. She's loving them. She's being Jesus to people that the rest of the world has forgotten about. So Sharon, I see Jesus in you. I see God in you. Oh, Martha, what am I going to say about Martha? I have notes because I was afraid I might get distracted or emotional. I'm not either of those things. You've sat in a different place. So that's the problem. Because we went through. Anyway, I shouldn't tell my secrets. Okay, Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. You may not know, but Martha helps me out 12 hours a week with my brother. And if you know my brother, I love you, Chris. She's a saint, okay? She is so helpful in my home. What I've learned about Martha is that she's very deliberate. She doesn't start on an action until she has a plan of where she's going and what she's going to do to accomplish that action. She is steadfast, meaning that she moves in a direction and she stays going in that direction. And thankfully, the direction she's chosen is Jesus. And so we have a lot of Jesus conversations, and I really appreciate that. And she is also fierce. You do not have 9 babies without developing fierce love. And she has taught me how to be fierce as a mother. And that is a great gift. And I see God in Martha. Wayne. Wayne, Wayne, Wayne. Wayne, you have the heart of an encourager. If I ever am preaching and I think, man, this sermon is bombing, like maybe about right now, I don't know. I look to Wayne and literally, I'm going to turn so everybody can see me. Literally, he's going, and I'm like, yes, somebody is receiving what I've been praying over and asking God for in the last week. Wayne has the heart of an encourager, and not just to pastors, to everyone. How many of you have been encouraged by Wayne? Look at that, Wayne. That's awesome. He's kind. And the other thing I appreciate about Wayne is that he is deeply committed to personal sanctification. Wayne might be a saint, like an actual saint, and he wouldn't know it because he's so committed to that process of letting God work in his life. And I see Jesus in him. You're welcome. Josh, you know I was coming for you, didn't you? Josh, you are strong. You are a man's man. You do a great job of exampling that to other men, and it's very influential. You're comfortable in your own skin, and that frees the rest of us up to be comfortable in our skin, because we're like, well, Josh can say and do it. He is who he is, so I can be who God created me to be as well. And you are a straight shooter. Like, what you say is what you do is who you are, and there are very few people left like that in the world. And I appreciate that about you and see God in you. Jess. So Rob and I, last night, I had started some thoughts and then we went over them together. And the things that we noticed about you, Jess, are that you are enthusiastic and that you are contagious in the best way possible. And so basically the vision that Rob and I had for you is like a great big brush of love and joy and excitement and just like painting, just really like getting it everywhere. That's who you are. And the world needs people like that because a lot of people are just kind of unhappy and kind of sad. And then Jess comes along and you can't help but smile. So I appreciate that about you. Faith. Faith, you are your name. You are joyous. You are obedient. You're loving. And you love to worship. I just see you as someone who's really genuinely happy to be you. And when you're happy in who you are, it helps other people be happy in who they are. So I see God in you. And just because I forgot to say it, I see God in you. All right. Paul. Paul. I'm telling you, I got out of order here. Paul, you are steady. Anybody knows that about Paul? He's just steady. I like steady people because some of us are all over the place, and the steady people kind of tack us down a little bit, and that's a good thing. You are so respectful. I always feel like you're very respectful as you talk to people, as you engage with people, as you talk about things. You really have a genuine respect for people and for the world. I see a lot of your dad in you. You are helpful. We had to move a barn in one time, and it didn't fit. And Paul was very resourceful in figuring out how to make it fit because he knew I wanted it in here. And what Pastor Anna wants, Pastor Anna gets, I guess. I don't know. It was really wonderful. And Paul is very gracious. He just has a gracious personality. Nicole. Oh, I see the image of God in you. Nicole. I had this, I've had a privilege of working with Nicole and MOPS as long as I've been here, mothers of preschoolers, but just a month or two ago, she talked about her level of organization. It was called Mom Hacks, and she shared how she lives organized and the different things she accomplishes. And what you probably don't know about Nicole is that she gets up at like 5 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning and goes to sleep at like 11 at night. So imagine, I mean, she's just so amazing considering she operates on that little bit of sleep. But she shared her organizational details in her life, and I was just blown away at how everything has its place and everything has its time, and she runs her household like clockwork, despite the fact that she has twins, and she's just done such a beautiful job of that. She's also very committed. She's mature beyond her years, and she's this wonderful mix of shy, outgoing. What I mean by that is, you know, she's shy and she doesn't really want to share, but she also really wants to connect with people. So she kind of gets over that and offers herself to people, and her true self is beautiful. So, Nicole, I see the image of God in you. I'm going to pause for a second and go up north here. Wait, this is south, right? Hello, Dale. Did you think I was going to overlook you?
Sure.
You would be wrong. Dale. I got to find your name here. Dale, you are consistent. You're always here. And I know that some of that has to do with Marcia, but mostly I know you drive 2 cars. So a lot of it has to do with who you are. Dale, you are faithful. You obey even when you don't like it. You are protective of your family beautifully. And Dale, the thing I admire the most about you is that you're still growing. And you're willing to admit that. And that takes a lot of vulnerability. And though you be big, though you be strong, you are tender-hearted. And I appreciate that. I see God in you. Where'd Rich go? Is he not here this morning? Okay. Well, I'll have to send him an email. All right, Doug, did you think I was going to overlook you? Again, you're not in your place, right? Doug, what I appreciate about you is that you're always eager to be here. Like, you don't want to miss Sunday.
Yeah.
And that is a pastor's dream. We want to have people that don't want to miss Sunday.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that you're always very outgoing and friendly to me. You always ask me how I am. You always offer your hand. You're kind. And the other thing I really like about you, and perhaps Pastor Rob likes even more, is Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Doug loves Star Wars, yep. And that's something we connect on, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, Doug, I see the image of God in you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Coming back around here. Rocky. You set yourself up this morning, dude. So as I was praying about this last night, as I thought about you, I was like, there's just like the perfect descriptive word. It's scrappy, right? It's scrappy. Scrappy means like persistent and dogged and unwilling to give up. And that is you. Like, I have seen you in some really rough places, as you mentioned this morning, and still you have trusted God and you squeeze life out of life, where a lot of guys your age are just like, meh, work and kids and you're like, work, kids. Like, you are just so there with your family. And I really appreciate about that about you, because I feel like it helps others decide to be there also. I know that Rob and I look at you and go, wow, there's a guy that has every excuse to bow out on family, on church, on work, and you're just not willing to. And that's really awesome. Also, you're hilarious. Like, we were working on a float a month ago or so, and he kept saying things, and I'm like, is he serious? I think he's joking. Wait. Like, one of the things is I was laying some corn stalks aside to give back to Bruce, and I was like, oh, I'll put them over here by the building, by the handicap sign. And he's like, well, they can stand, they can walk, they don't need that. And I was like, what? Oh, you know, he's just very funny. So I'm not as funny as you are. I don't even have the recollection, but you're great. And I see the image of God in you. Wendy. Wendy and I have been to some very tough places. I may or may not have driven her car at 89 miles an hour to get to Mayo Clinic one time. But even when her whole world was falling apart, Wendy wasn't. Wendy has very strong moorings in Christ that challenge my own moorings. She's compassionate. She's creative. She's surprising. Sometimes she sends me text messages, and I'm like, wait, where did that come from? In fact, I sent her a text message a while ago of the scarecrow I put together, and it was, I don't know if you saw it, it was wearing a suit and had the Algona Faith, you know, pulled back like he's a superhero. It didn't even have our church name on it. It was just quietly a superhero. Well, yesterday I went driving downtown, and I realized that the pants on the scarecrow had fallen down. And I was like, oh my word, our scarecrow is flashing Algona. And I was like, there's only one person I can really send that text to. And it was Wendy. You know, she just has a great, great sense of humor. So, yeah. Sue, again, you guys rearranged. Dennis, I skipped both of y'all, didn't I? Oh my word, you guys have to tell me if I... Yeah, I'll get there. You have to tell me. And I know we're probably going over on time. Uh-huh. What do you want to do about that? A little faster. Okay. Sue, it's hard because I love y'all. Sue is willing to work in places where others overlook. So what I mean by that is Sue works in the nursery, but I also happen to know that she's a librarian who just quietly flits about the library. She works on the library board, I believe. And she also cleans banks when they're closed. She is like super secret ninja servant, right? And it's amazing. And I see God in you. Dennis. Sorry, my allergies. Yeah. Dennis. You have an intercessor's heart. And pastors need intercessors. There have been many times that Dennis has sent me a text before I knew what was going on. And he's like, I'm praying for you. And then my life explodes. And I'm like, oh, Dennis knew, because he talks to God regularly. And I appreciate that. You also have a true worshiper's heart. And I know that that's one of the things that you strive for. And I see it. And so I see God in you. You're welcome. Love you. All right, Patrick. Patrick's brilliant. Brilliant. But he's humble about it, so you're not even going to know how stinking brilliant he is. See, he's putting his eyes down right now. One time, Patrick and I had this amazing conversation about DNA and the corruption of DNA because it's been copied over and over and over, and already your brains are starting to smoke, but Patrick's like, oh, it makes perfect sense, blah, da, 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 and I'm like, whoa, he's brilliant, and I see God in him. He's also really well-adjusted, which is amazing if you know his story at all. And so I really appreciate that. Bruce, you're such a hard worker. Oh my goodness. I wonder if you sleep at all sometimes because you just work so hard, but I never hear you complain about it. Even when your cattle are getting foot rot and you're flooding downstream and Your corn can't come out because it's too wet. I get to this point, I'm like, I don't even want to ask him how it is. I'm praying, brother, you know? And he doesn't complain about it. He's God-fearing. He really fears God. And I'm pretty convinced that he's indestructible from all of his stories. I see God in you. I see God in you too, Patrick. Jackie. Jackie is creative. Jackie is resourceful. And when you combine these two things, Jackie is amazing. She told me that when she was in high school or college, somebody said, you could make a purse out of a pig's ear, right? Is that what it was? And she's like, I don't even know what that means. And I'm like, that means you can take something gross and that should be thrown away and turn it into something fantastic that everybody wants. And I've seen her do this over and over and over again in our church and in her personal life. And she's just wonderful. God's a creative God, and he has put that peace in your heart, and I appreciate it. All right, Connor. Connor, you're cool.
Oh, thank you.
You know it, right? Connor, I love the way that you've jumped into high school with both feet, that you're just ready to be a friend. You're ready to try everything. You're ready to just rock and roll. I see so much of your dad in you that way, of just like that zest for life. And I think that's probably how Jesus lived, that he was like, I'm here, let's do this. And I get that impression from you. I see God in you. And you are so musical and so steady and so kind and willing to serve, not just in your school, but in your family and in your church. You're just a really nice kid. And don't let that sound like, oh, that's kind of minimal. No, we live in a world there's not a lot of nice kids left. And I see four in this family. So y'all are doing something right. I see God in you. All right, moving on. I'm trying, guys. Oh, goodness. I know, we want lunch. But we're not doing growth groups, right? This is worth it. Okay, Brett, where are you, Brett? I have you here. I'm telling you, I've got some confusion here. Well, I'll do this anyway. Brett, I see you as a very hard worker. I see you as a guy who knows how to get a job done, and you're not afraid to speak up to get that job done. I see God using you mightily in your workplace and rewarding you for your faithfulness through the things that you've been through, that you've continued to serve him and love him faithfully, and I appreciate that. I see God in you. Jonna has really jumped in and helped us with all Marsha's absences. You know, Marsha's got a lot going on in her life right now, and Jonna's just been like, I'm here to serve. How can I help? Who can I love? What can I do? And I really appreciate that. She's also very steady, and that is really helpful as a counterpart to me, because I'm not quite that steady, and she just really adds a lot of light and life to our office. Not that she replaces Marsha. She's just added to our joy. So I see God in you, Jonna. Oh, and you're so crazy deep. I meant to say that. That was on my notes, but you're very, very deep. Ever talk to Jonna about her love for Jesus? She's so, so deep. All right, Curtis. How you doing, my man?
Good.
Good. You have a great work ethic. You have a great work ethic when you're at work, like at Aluma. You have a great work ethic when you are at XOP. You have a great work ethic when you come up to my house while I'm gone and cut down trees and put them in a trailer so that I can haul them away. You are a blessing to me, and I see God in you. Earl, you are so creative. You are so friendly. You love your job as greeter. You're ready to welcome people into God's house. And you're eager to have a conversation and share from your heart. And I see God in you in that. Justin, I know you're thinking I'm not going to have anything for you, Justin, but you would be wrong. You are concerned for others. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the field you're in. You are adventurous. Did you know that Justin has a paraglider. That's what I thought it was, but I didn't want to say it wrong. He has a paraglider. So if you ever see a little guy floating from a balloon over Algona, it's Justin. And you should just be like, woo-woo, Justin, right? Because he wants to be closer to God. Not quicker, but just closer, right? He's also very eager to learn. Justin and I always have great conversations about books we're reading and things we're thinking about, and he asks a lot of good questions, and I appreciate that about you, and I see the heart of God in you. Lori. Lori, Lori. Well, first of all, my very dear friend's name is Lori. So when Lori first introduced herself to me, I'm like, oh, Lori, I'll love you. That's easy, right? And all of y'all have said that about Lori, too. Lori is life-saving, quite literally. She's life-saving to the people that she works with, but she's life-saving to the people she loves as well. And so that's a huge quality in her. She is loving, so, so loving. Right now, she's rocking a newborn, her grandbaby, in her lap. Just exuding lovingness at this very moment. And Rob said, you got to say too, she's gentle. She's gentle. And there are not a ton of gentle people left in this world. And you are one of them. And I see God in you. Ryan. Ryan's got a soft spot in my heart. I don't know. He's just always been so stable. And he's so capable. Every time I'm like, the sump pump, he's one of those people that, like, I know that we can figure it out or have a problem at home or I don't know. Ryan just is very capable, you know, and I've seen you grow a lot in the last 3 years. I've seen you go from just being really quiet and not really sure about what you're doing here to grabbing onto this thing called life and grabbing onto that grandbaby. And I don't know if I've ever seen a granddad as proud of his new grandbaby as Ryan. Did you know he planted a tree in her honor? A tree. That's so biblical. Oh, it's awesome. Awesome. All right. Miss Carly, I'm so glad you're here this morning. When I was working on this, I was praying that you would be here this morning. I want to tell you that you are very caregiving. She works at Algona Manor. Oh, I'm sorry. Good Samaritan. I knew that. And she has just a loving demeanor. She's very caregiving in that she's serving other people in that capacity. But I see her do it with her family as well. I see the way you watch over your siblings, the way you watch over your daughter. You're an excellent mom. I know that you are filling two roles right now, and you are doing it beautifully. So I just want to tell you you're doing a great job. And that mother's heart is straight from Jesus. It is. That's God's heart in you. All right, Meredith. No Alex today, huh? Second Alex? Well, I had something for him, but I'll have to send him a text or something. Meredith, you are sweet. And I thought, well, would I want to be called sweet? But you just are. You're very, very sweet. You're inquisitive, though. Like, I got to have coffee over at their house the other day, and she was just asking me all these questions. They weren't accusations. They weren't anything. They were just questions because she wanted to know. And get the impression that you're very trustworthy. I know you babysit a lot. I know you're really good with children, but you can be good with children without being trustworthy, and you are trustworthy. So I see God in you. Alex, you are hardworking. Man, this guy can throw bales. This guy can shoot like you wouldn't believe. He is a great marksman, and he loves the farm, And I suspect because he likes to see things grow. He likes to see work get done, and he likes to get to the end of a hard day's work and go, I did that. Am I close? Yeah, and I see God in you, because that's exactly what God did. End of 6 days, he's like, I'm done. Peace out, right? And so I see God in you. Dan. I told Rob what I was going to say, and he's like, yep, you are weathered, but resilient, very resilient. You have been through stuff, and you might give us just like the tiniest glimpse of it, but you're not telling. You're keeping it to yourself, and I appreciate that because you're not retelling traumas. You're just, this is what it is, and we're going to move forward, and yet you're devout, and we talked about that's kind of a Catholic word. But there's really not another word that describes you, and that you're here and you love God and you're just gonna keep loving God no matter what life throws you. And I appreciate that about you. You have a dog, or you are a dog. Well, now you know I'm scared, so we're equally responsible. Karen, you are incredibly kind-hearted. You are clothed in strength and in dignity. It's from Proverbs 31. But I see that in you. And I said it to Rob. He's like, absolutely, that's who she is. You're clothed in strength and dignity. And you are self-sacrificing. I know some of the things that you've set aside to love your family well, and you're doing a beautiful job, and I see God in you. All right, I'm working my way back to you people. Carolyn, you guys sat out of order. It's really throwing me for a loop. Carolyn, you are a prayer warrior. You are courageous, so courageous. When I consider your story, I just think you might be one of the bravest people alive. And you are sensitive to the Spirit. And that's probably the thing I appreciate the most about you. When we first started preaching here, I'd see you close your eyes and I was like, is she annoyed? Am I off? Is she tuning out? Is she taking a nap? And then I realized, no, she's praying. She's praying. She's praying that the word of God's going forth. She's probably searching her own heart. She's praying for people she knows. She listens in prayer. And I haven't seen that before. And I really appreciate that about you. And I think that's how God works with us too. He intercedes for us. And so I see God in you. Barbara, I'm going to sneak through here. Is that okay?
Everybody cover
yours. No. Barbara doesn't want a compliment. I have learned that. When I talk to Barbara and I try to compliment her, she wants to look the other way and pretend I'm not talking. But Barbara's not used to accepting compliments, though she should be, because she's a wonderful person. She's brave as well. Very brave. She's an overcomer. She is eager to lend a hand, always happy to help, and she has a servant mentality. Just really ready to jump in there and get things done. And I appreciate that. I see Christ in you. Margaret. Margaret says she's self-conscious. Margaret, I see a mental treasury of God's word in you.
Thank you.
And if I wondered that, you spoke out twice in Sunday school this morning with God's word. You have such a steel trap when it comes to God's word, and I am jealous because my mind doesn't work that way. So I think that's wonderful. You also have a great passion to share Christ, and that's a rarity in this world, and you try to do that every day. So thank you. I see God in you. Roger. Roger, you are honest about who you are, and I love that. I hope that when I get to your age, which is like 49, right?
Yeah, right.
Right? That I can be as sure of who I am as you are. And what I appreciate about that is that you are vulnerable with it. Like when we've been sharing in Swipe Right, you've just been like, this is how it is. And you're not hiding behind any pretenses. I feel like your open self is very large and well-adjusted. And I appreciate that about you. You are also the kind of guy who has never met a stranger. He'll just come up with someone and ask a question and everybody would be like mortified to ask, but Roger will ask and it turns out the person is just ready and willing to share about that question. So I appreciate that. Larry, you are a man that knows his own mind and you're not afraid to share it with others. And I think that's really cool. You are fearless on your farm and everything that you do with your cattle and your tractor and all of that, in the way you interact with others. And I'm also convinced that you are invincible. And I didn't know you were going to come in with a strapped elbow today. But you are quite invincible. This guy one time drove himself to the hospital while bleeding profusely.
No, right after a heart attack.
Right after a heart attack. Same difference. Yeah. So every that is Larry.
That I needed to learn three numbers, 911.
Right. Well, Larry.
I got lectured from Algona to Mason City.
Larry, you are a strong man of God, and I see him in you.
Thank you.
Pete, you are servant-hearted. I don't know that everybody sees that about you, but I see it. You guys may not know it, but when we were moving back into our house, we had a water system that was not going to support five people. What do I mean by that? Showers and dishwashers and all of that, it was not going to happen, and we needed desperately to change our system out to a
PEX system.
And we had seen a PEX system that Pete had built at Tiffany's house, and we were like, that's the guy to talk to. And he came to our home and spent so much time doing that and was just such a blessing to us. And I think of that every time someone's in the shower and I run the dishwasher. I'm like, God bless Pete. Pete is a blessing. And also, you're just so good humored. Like, you're just fun to be around because you have a good personality. So I see God in you. All right, Vesta. Vesta. Again, I've got people missing or am out of order. So Vesta, you are generous. I said to Rob, she'd give the apples right out of her trunk. If you have it, you have an open hand with it. And most people that that don't have a lot tend to hoard it. And I don't see you that way at all. I see you as someone as, I have it, who can I give it to that it's going to make a difference in their life? And I appreciate about that about you. The other thing I see is that you are wholly unafraid to share the gospel. Like, you will tell everyone you know about Jesus. And that's why you're a great Gideon, but it's also why you're a great Christ follower. And so I see God's image in you. Sarah. Different Sarah. I got to get to the right spot. I bet you're like, wait, I didn't think I'd be on her list, right? Oh, where is it? Sarah, I know what I wrote about you, and it's that I don't believe that you are really comfortable talking to strangers and in new situations, and probably in this moment right now, you might want to climb under your chair. And I'm sorry for putting you in that position. But what I wanted to tell you is that I've seen you, in the couple weeks I've known you, work to overstep that and go, you know, I could use this as a crutch or an excuse, but instead I'm going to use it as a stepping stone, and I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to allow myself to build relationships and be loved and love others. And I'm just so excited that you guys are becoming a part of our family here at Algona Faith. It's really neat. And I can't wait to get to know you better. Like, I genuinely can't wait. So, Dustin. So I've had fewer conversations with you, but what I see about you is that you are very protective of your wife, that you treasure her. That's really obvious. And you are free to let her be the person she is and support her in that. And I suspect that you'll be that way when you're a father one day as well, and that you're probably that way with your friends. I know that you're a hard worker, and I know that you're a risk taker because you're willing to move across the country to take a job, and not everybody's willing to do that. So all of those things seem very Christ-like to me, that Christ loved his church as a bride and gave himself up for her. And I see you doing that just in the last couple weeks that I've gotten just to tiny know you guys a little bit. So I see God in you. Gloria. We're almost done, guys. You hanging in there? Well, one guy is. Gloria. Oh, Gloria is so cool. If you don't know Gloria, you need to come to Ladies Coffee and just get to know her, because she is really special. Gloria has a crazy backstory. Gloria could have every reason to be bitter and to be broken and to turn away from God. And yet she hasn't. Instead, I see the opposite, that Gloria has only gotten sweeter as life has pushed harder on her. And I see God rewarding you for that now. And that just excites me for you, and it excites me for his kingdom economy, that he just does such a great job loving his faithful people, and you are one of them. So I see God in you. Surely. Surely you, my dear, are persevering. Yeah. I know that it's hard. Yeah. I know that it's hard to get going sometimes, and I know that it's hard to be with people sometimes. It's hard for me sometimes too. But you persevere.
God's working in me.
He sure is. And I see that, and I'm proud of you for persevering. I also know that you are prayerful, that you pray often. And I know that you are awesome, Grandma, to your grands.
I can't wait.
She's like, I can't wait to get up there. She loves her grandkids. And you love your grandkids the way God loves us. Yeah. And therefore, I see Jesus in you. Eli Thorson. Just got to bust out in song. Eli's coming hot. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, Eli. This is hard. Because my boy is almost a man. And the countdown has begun. You are outgoing. you are incredibly compassionate. Like, Eli sees stuff that nobody else notices, and he's like, Mom, so-and-so was hurt, or so-and-so is having a hard time. That's one of the reasons I'm really going to miss him. And he has this amazing, thanks, he has this amazing ability to connect with all ages. His best friend, when he was a year old, was a five-year-old. And he's always been like that. If you notice Eli in the hallway, he can talk to people that are two, and he can talk to people that are 82. And he's just always been that way. And I appreciate that about him. And Eli, you are a natural leader. Sometimes for the sake of popularity or ease, you'll jump down to second, but that's not who you are. You're a natural leader. And I see Christ in you. Sarah. Sarah's the one I'm glad I have three whole more years with, right? Sarah, you are developing into such a lovely young lady. I look at you and people say that you're just like me, and that's unbelievable to me because you're so stunning. And I'm so proud of the young lady that you're becoming. You are creative. Oh my goodness, this child is creative. Young lady is creative. She's unbelievably talented musically and relationally and with fashion and art and all of that. She also is full of life and always has been. And the thing that she is probably the most is determined. What you may not know about Sarah is that when she was a very sick baby. She had RSV, she had rotavirus. She would stop eating when she was sick, so she'd just immediately get dehydrated. And when she was 6 months old, she had rotavirus really badly. We're not going to talk about how badly, but she was very dehydrated. You're supposed to be at a hydration level of 16, and she was at a 4. And her doctor said, I don't know how she's not in a coma, but she wasn't in a coma. Would you like to know what she was doing? 6 months old, in a crib that was elevated to help her breathing, had an IV, but because she pulls the IV, they had a splint on her, and she learned to crawl in the crib uphill, dragging a splint and an IV. That's where she learned to crawl. That's how determined this child is, so don't stand up against her. Okay, I'm almost done. Chris. You got to know that Chris and I are siblings, and I have known Chris my entire life, and he's picked on me for most of that. And still, we live together, and we get on pretty good now, don't we? Yep. So Chris is what I would characterize as unbreakable. Like, the sky falls on this guy, the foundations crack, and he's like, all right, let's start again. Yeah. He just has an unbreakable spirit. He is a risk taker, which is so the opposite of me that I'm like, oh, slow down. And he's like, go ahead, storm ahead. But he was a forward observer in the Army, so of course he's a risk taker, right? And he is transforming. So what do I mean by that? I mean that you are not the person that I knew growing up. You are not the person that was in that fire, and you are not the person that moved in with us. You are a new person and still becoming a new person, and I really like this guy. I see God in you. And last but not least is my Rob. Oh, up here? All right. Rob Thorson. Rob Thorson is sitting down. He is easy on the eyes. I've said that before. He's very analytical, which is a place that I lack greatly, so I appreciate deeply that he can look at a circumstance, he can look at numbers, he can look at details, and he can see them, and all I can see is the big stuff, and he's the make it happen guy. He is loyal to a fault. The way Jesus is loyal, that he left the 99 to go after the one. You are very loyal. And maybe my favorite thing about you in this season is that you are becoming more and more vulnerable. And that is the most godly thing that I've seen develop in your life. And I'm really grateful for it. So that's the end of our service today. I hope you guys hung on. I hope it didn't weird you out. I hope you have something that you're taking away for yourself and maybe something that you're taking away for someone sitting near you, that we are more family now than we were at the start of the service. But I'd like to close with Paul's prayer to the Thessalonians. It says, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong and blameless and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his people. Amen. Amen.